not into it.
Austin, get your computer figured out. We're
fuck
live.
You, Todd.
We're recording. What are you? Fuck it. You got to figure it out.
You're only 13 minutes late.
I'm working on it. Let's do a clap sync.
How about you buy an Apple product?
I tried. Like, I'm not a fan of Apple. I'm not a fan of Macs.
You aren't poor. Like, why
no, I'm not
using that.
You're right, Jeff. I'm not poor. I'll cop to that. I'm not poor. I should own a Mac, but I'm smart enough not to buy that shit because it's a fucking scam now.
Hey, 4 out of 5 of us got on here on time, man.
You're I have still a PC, fucking... though.
Oh, okay. Hang on. No, let's go through how long it's taken people to get on here before. No, let's just run it down. Come on. Come on. Let's get it out. Let's see. Let's see how long.
I'm usually late.
Jeff?
But ours is never product related. It's just either on my half, laziness.
It's just bad work ethic? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, it has nothing to do with Apple. In fact, it's the opposite of Steve Jobs. It's a lack of
work. All right, I'm going to get a Mac. It'll be fine.
I think you should.
What is this program you're having trouble with?
It's called Microsoft Teams. It's supposed to be like a it's supposed to be a productivity app of some sort that I do not see it.
Yeah.
It gobbles up RAM.
I think it's not productive.
You know what it
it's
wants?
It's off now.
It wants us to be on Teams and do this recording on
it.
There.
Does. It wants this to happen through Teams.
And it knows sure you're it going someplace. Oh,
yep,
else,
I got an email here from Microsoft. We really like Funtown. Do you want to do it on Teams? So.
Fuck your Teams. It's unreliable. Well, we're all here. Me and Austin, Oskay, Jess Osman, and we have a very special guest join us today, Willie Griswold. What's up, buddy?
What's
going on, Willie?
Thanks for having you guys. Good to see you, Austin.
Sorry, I didn't put my best foot forward there.
No, it's okay. I loved it. I'm glad that you guys aired that shit out. It's always good to get some stuff out when you have to.
Let him vent a little bit. Also, it's kind of an ad against Teams. So,
yeah.
Fuck them. For those that don't know who Willie is, he is a permanent cast member now on the Bob and Tom show. And maybe heir apparent, at least the son of a legend of radio, Tom Griswold of the Bob and Tom show. So you're crushing it over there. You're getting rave reviews. Everybody that's a fan of the show is happy that you are a part of it.
Thank you.
And we're happy that you're part of Funtown, at least this week. So
really happy to do this.
Yeah, buddy. So you're an Indiana product, obviously, because of your dad. And then you were in Chicago for a while.
Yeah.
Killing it in stand-up comedy, from what I was told. And now you're back here. Are you still doing stand-up?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would be. I've done stand-up twice since I've been back. Once at a show and once at a mic. And that's the cool thing is that there's a lot of like really cool outdoor stuff here going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really happy to be back on that. So I'm doing stand-up, but I'm not just like actively doing it because there's not – it's, you know, it's not Chicago. So it's not – there's not like open mics every night and it's not pre-COVID. So I'm not going to like – 3 or 4 bars a night and like hopping around to do spots. I'm just kind of around, but it's great. And I'm doing the show. So I still get to perform in a way. And so I still get to like work that sort of funny muscle.
Awesome.
And that feels great to get to do that again.
Now you're a professional, a person that's a professional within this industry. Now let me ask you this. What kind of laptop are you using?
Oh, right now I happen to be using a MacBook Pro, 13-inch from Macintosh.
I wondered because, I mean, you getting into this room was seamless.
It was seamless.
Yeah, it was on time.
And,
it
you know, was. Frankly, this isn't what's going to happen if you're using some sort of, you know, ragtag software like Microsoft Teams, you know? If you're
And this is what I see. Willie's backing me on this. Teams is bad news. It's bad news.
Yeah, it's bad news. You might as well have been on BearShare right before you came on. Just fucking letting everybody trash your shit.
Jeff, where are you? It looks like you broke into a library at night. Are you at a public library that you're not supposed to be in?
The garage was getting a bit musty, so I went into the study for this week's
episode. I'm so. Which wing of your mansion are you in right now? What are you? That's incredible.
Yeah, if you see my hair start to smoke, I have this candle right behind me that I'm afraid I'm going to catch on fire.
Well, maybe your butler can put it out for you. I mean, look at that place.
That lighting is stellar.
I that War and Peace behind you that I see, what kind of, have you read all those books?
Or
is that wallpaper?
No, that's these are all real books. And anytime, maybe I'll grab a selection here in a little while and we'll take a read.
That's good. That's probably what the... Just read a book. That's like read a book. Willie, Funtown's going great, by the way. Yeah. We don't normally just do book readings.
Sometimes we do. Oscar, you just got, you say you just,
oh, wait, we have. Never mind. Willie, we have.
Actually. Yeah, we actually have. We've done a little bit of everything on here. We're not all just poultry sex talk on here.
It works for Patrick Stewart. He reads sonnets. Mm, the internet loves him.
True. That's true. But he could talk over anything and it'd be awesome. Him and Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman, for what, 5 minutes, narrated a prison rape and people loved it. I mean, it made that whole movie.
Can you spell the word after prison for me so I understand what we're talking? Did you say rape or rape?
Rape, not a rave, because they don't allow those in prisons anymore.
Oh, Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, Shawshank Redemption.
He did some other narration work in Shawshank Redemption that I think I'd feel better about just blending the whole rape narration in with. If we could just call it his Shawshank work and not so much his rape narration, that would be good.
No, but he that's the ultimate test. I mean, anybody can voice over a book or anything else. I mean, when you can voice over a prison rape and people not be turned off by it, then you're the champion. You're the
king. There's not any bull queers in Planet Earth.
That's right.
It's a whole different kind of narration.
Me and my ex-wife went to Zihuatanejo on our honeymoon, which is where he goes at the end of the.
He's walking on the beach?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
I've walked on that beach.
Now, is that a tour spot, or did you go there because of the movie?
Well, I didn't know that's where he went in the movie. And holy shit, I never realized how many Shawshank fans were out. You guys are going down to one day. Oh, Shawshank Redemption? Is that why you guys are going? Yeah, that's we're huge fans. So we based our whole honeymoon off of it. We're heading
a bunch of shankomaniacs out there on the beach with you guys while you're trying to have a good time.
It is gorgeous down there. I'll give them that.
Well, sure it is.
Yeah,
that's why he went there.
So I don't know if you know this person, Willie. Your dad does. There's a guy, Chick Perrin, used to own all the comedy clubs in town back in the 70s and the 80s. And I worked for him at the time. And as I was leaving for my honeymoon, he goes, hey, here's a Viagra. Have a fun time. And he goes, don't take the whole thing. Like, take a half. Like, you don't need a whole thing. Just take a half. And so I'm like, well,
listen, Jeff, my dick's a mess. You don't want to take the whole thing. Just take half of it.
So he goes, just take half. You don't need a whole one. And I'm like, okay. So like first night, I take the whole one. I'm like, I'm going to ride this out. Fun night. Next day, though, I forgot was on the beach horse rides with me and my new wife, and I made it about half a gallop, and he was back with a vengeance and uncomfortable for the next 5 miles this horse. It was like I had to tuck up. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
And I chafed in places I've never chafed before on my taint. It was the most painful horse ride I've ever had in my life. And that erection lasted for pretty much 3 days. Anytime a breeze would hit it, anytime I would walk, think about a boob, anytime he was back for like 3 to 4 hours.
It's a miracle, right?
It was.
I mean, that's science, baby.
It was like awesome for like an hour. And then my wife at the time was like, yeah, I'm done. I'm good. I don't want any more of that.
Stop
so
it.
I don't know what you want done with it, but take it away from me.
Right.
I mean, I feel like that's conducive if you're like on a set of a porno, you're the lead character. You've got like 3 different scenes to do that day. You know, there's a lot of cuts and restarts, you know, and do-overs. Like,
I feel like we just
not for horseback riding.
I feel like we just saw how old Todd is, that his pornography is like a story with scenes and a lead, and he has no idea that millennials jerk it to like the most aggressive 3 minutes from that
They do. It's like you guys, over. You guys clip it now, and you just, yeah. you search by what clip you want, anal, blowjobs, whatever, and you get a nice little. It's like YouTube. It's conducive for ADD viewing or whatever. But I do. I like a story arc. I like for some character development to happen. I like for some surprises to occur. Like, you know, I thought he was the bad guy, but no, he's the good guy. Look, he's taking on all the cheerleaders.
See, he's fucking her nice. He's a nice guy. He's a good guy. He's an anti-hero.
Willie, what's your favorite story? Porn?
My favorite porn? I go for kind of just like, I feel like I have since I was a little kid at just like, kind of like big boobs porn. Like nothing too lewd, nothing too weird, not even boobs that are too big. Just, I think it's just like that sort of big gut instinct when you're a kid and you're researching boobs the first time, you're just like, big boobs. And then you kind of just roll with that. And then you follow into categories and various websites.
Uh-huh. But what are you sitting in a race car bed right now, Willie?
Everyone keeps joking I have a race car bed. Yeah. I don't. I have a bed without a bed frame. It's very different.
Yeah. I did that for a long time. Right after my second divorce, I refused to get a frame or headboard, anything, because I knew that drove her crazy. Like when she first met me, that's the situation I was in, and she bitched about it until I went out and bought a very expensive one of both. So after the divorce and I got the next house, it's just me and Matt Holt was my roommate for a while.
Hell yeah.
And in my room, it was just, you walked in, there was a box spring and a mattress on the floor. And every time I walked in, I'd be like, oh, you should go get a frame and then a fancy headboard. And then I'd say, no, I don't want to. And I would win every time. Every time I walked in the room, I win the argument. So
I'd love to imagine you and Holt living together. That's such a fun house.
It was. It was a good time.
Willie does a lot of work with Holt now.
Yeah, I know.
It's
I see
a
it
small all. World.
Yeah, real small world. Yeah, we had a good time.
Todd, I always had the mattress on the floor too. And the way I got around it with girls is I just called it the dojo. Because it has a very sort of Japanese pagoda look about it. And they all find it very fun.
Take
it's a very fun
off.
Thing
take
to throw
your shoes
out
off
there.
When you come in the door. You're in the dojo.
Yeah, bow. Just bow to a girl before sex. It's lovely.
I was wondering why you didn't wear a leather belt. It was weird. It was yellow, but
I don't have my green belt yet.
Yeah. Isn't the mattress on the floor better for the mattress though? Because like,
yeah,
I remember the first mattress I actually bought, like legit, where it's like $900. I'm like, oh god. And then on the frame, which it's just a basic frame, you know, like the metal posts.
Sure.
And then within like a year, it's like super saggy in the middle, and I was like, oh.
Yeah,
but if it's on the floor, wouldn't that kind of?
Yeah, I think it's perfect. I think it's the way it's supposed to be. You know, I think it should just be a box springs that's like 3.5 foot tall, and then your bed on top of that.
Right,
that would be the perfect bed. Then the weight's distributed evenly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It doesn't lean one side or the other or toward the middle. I think we should start making those.
Jess, if you're single and you go home with a guy. And he has the mattress box springs on the floor combo, but he has the bed made. Do you sleep with him, or is that a like, if he can't even buy a bed frame, then I'm out as a lady?
I think it depends on what else is in the room. Like if there's a dresser and maybe a nice framed photo.
Just one?
Like one. Maybe a laundry basket with actual clothes inside of it. It's like, look at him. He's a respectable guy. He just doesn't have a frame. It's reasonable.
You know, now, Willie, is the TV an issue? Because you're pretty low. You have a TV on the wall, or is it on a dresser or entertainment
TV
center?
TV is in the living room. I try to do like, I used to be a big TV when I fell asleep guy. Uh-huh. And then I had to like stop doing it because I was just getting terrible sleep. And so now I can't even put a TV in my bedroom. The bedroom for me is just for sleep.
That's probably a good idea for people like you and Jess and Oscar, because you guys have to get up so early for morning radio.
Yeah.
I have to have it. Of course, I don't go to bed and I don't go to sleep till about 4:30 probably.
Sure.
So, and then I sleep till about noon. So I can't, it doesn't fuck up my life, but I get it. If you're on a schedule, how it gets, man, I get into like, if it's in the background, I mean, I'm into it. I can't like not look at it. You know what I mean? I'm paying attention. So it definitely keeps me up for an extra 3 or 4 hours, I would think.
Yeah.
As long as I'm able to find, I just started watching Cobra Kai, by the way. We were talking about it last fantastic. Week.
So good.
Finally, it's on Netflix and it is awesome. Have you watched it, Willie?
No. So is this some sort of Karate Kid spinoff?
Yes.
Okay. It's, so it's a series from the perspective of Cobra Kai, the other gym that's like the evil gym in the first one.
It's like
it's Johnny Lawrence.
Yeah. What happened to Johnny Lawrence and Daniel LaRusso when they're 50?
Cool.
Yeah. It's fucking, and the people that made it were like big time original Karate Kid 1 nerd fans. So
yeah.
They like really pay attention to the details. They got like everybody from the original cast has made at least an appearance on there. It's fucking awesome.
So we just finished season one and I didn't realize that the fans made the show until you guys were talking about it last week.
Yeah.
And so everything they do, even some of the lines that are in there, it's like they're paying tribute to the fans. And then there's still lip service like, oh, I didn't see that one coming. And it's exactly how it happened like in the 80s right, or something, yeah. Reverse. I'm like, I love this. I love it so much.
Johnny Lawrence's his character is so funny now because he's a better dude than he was because he kind of learned a life lesson. But his life is falling apart, right? So he's also oblivious. Like he's still stuck in the 80s mentally. So like when he first starts the Cobra Kai dojo up, there's a scene where a girl who's being picked on at school walks in the dojo and wants to join. And he's like, no, women don't do karate. And she's like, why not? He's like, it's the same reason they can't join the army. Like, he just stuck in 1980. I love it. I love everything about it.
It's next on my list. We watched the preview. I'm going to binge on it this weekend.
Yeah, I advise you to. I recommend it to
awesome,
everyone.
Everything.
A lot of the music from the original movie is included. It's just great. And a lot of flashbacks too to scenes of the original. So that crane kick, you see it probably 40 times throughout the movie.
At every angle.
Mm-hmm. Gary Goldman, you ever heard Gary Goldman's bit on the crane kick, Willie?
That's no, I love Gary Goldman though.
He has a 20-minute bit on Karate Kid.
Oh. It's probably his 20 minutes for sure.
It's so funny.
It's incredible.
He's like, the crane kick, no can defend. Yes, you can. Just don't leave it in your fucking face. So what else? Teach us a little bit more about the world of Willie now. So you got a house. I assume you're a bachelor if you're getting away with your mattress and box springs on the floor.
I am. Yeah. I was here. I've been here for like 3 weeks, but I still have like boxes and stuff that I need to unpack. I still like, I do laundry once a week and then it goes from, it just kind of stays in the dryer and then I move it when I have to move it. It's very kind of fun. And, I don't know, no rules. Like there should be like a no girls allowed sign on the door. It feels a lot like a sleepover treehouse right now. So I need to fix all of that. But yeah, I mean, it's just good to be back. It's just kind of weird because I'm back in Indy for the first time for more than a week or so since like high school or whatever. But it's like COVID is happening and stand-up isn't around. And I have like friends here, but they're like comics. They're not like most of them, like my high school friends are gone. So it's kind of a different, weird time. I know that everyone has that obviously, but it's like a weird little transitional phase, you know?
Yeah. But you came in at a good time in radio because radio has kind of learned some new tricks, I feel like, you know, to get through it and probably tricks that they'll keep for even after this.
Yeah.
Or how to have remote guests on and all this shit. So I think there's some things that will stick. But comedy clubs right now, I just saw a thing. They're trying to save them. A lot of them are saying that they're going away. And there's a piece of legislation, I forget what it's called, but save the club, save the clubs, yeah,
save our stages is the campaign,
save our stages, yeah. So everybody should check that out because there's a little survey or a little petition you can just fill out real quick and it goes right to your legislator. So do that because if there's no clubs, there's no stand-up comedy.
Yeah, so. And I'm like no scientist, obviously, but I've been to two shows. I'm going to watch two shows at Helium and then one to watch at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington. Mm-hmm. And they were just doing, it seemed like they were doing everything right. It seemed very safe. People had masks on. At the Comedy Attic, people wore them the whole show. At Helium, you wore them at your table.
Mm-hmm. Tell them who you saw at the Comedy Attic.
Oh my gosh, I saw Brian Regan at the Comedy Attic. So you're seeing Brian Regan. Shit. You're seeing Brian Regan for like 80 people, right? Like it's like no one is there. It's sold out or whatever, but no one is there considering that it's Brian Regan. And then Caitlin Palufo was hosting and she's done Colbert. And then Steve Rogers is featuring. He's also done Colbert. Regan's done Late Night like 80 times or whatever it is. And so I never thought I would see a show in Indiana with three comics that have all done Late Night.
Right.
That was there are nights at the Comedy Cellar where that doesn't happen. You know?
Yeah.
And to get that at the Comedy Attic felt so special and cool. Regan's just the best. Just like he's just such a comedian. Just jokes, just very funny. Like not in the way of like Mark Norman is like, oh, he's like the jokes guy. It's like set up punch kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Other guys are like all personality. Brian Regan to me seems like when I think of a comedian, I think of a guy like him.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. And you know, a lot of the theater comics are going to clubs now, which, you know, just out of necessity, just to do it because there's no theaters open. So they, you know, unfortunately for guys like us, it pushes spots away, but who cares? It's a great time for people to get in there. It's just, I guess the problem is just math. You can't sell as many tickets at, you know, can't sell enough tickets to keep most clubs going. So hopefully this bill gets through and they can get some aid. Hey, we saved the banks a while back. We can save the fucking comedy clubs, I think.
Sure. I wonder how many MCs, and I'm guessing I'm going to take the over 100, have done the, because we have, we can't let as many people in, the drink minimum tonight has been moved up to 15.
Oh, yeah. All of them. Yeah.
Just all of them. Just hacking it up.
It's going to get to a point where the manager is going to grab him by his shirt. Be like, you make the fucking 15 drink minimum joke, you're out of here.
By the way, after the show, I'm selling these masks. They say, I don't know what the masks say.
Feel like the people who got on the mask game. You know, early on right now are like climbing into their Porsches and driving to
their
house.
Yeah.
Which I thought I had a brilliant idea the other day. I'm like, hey, no one can go fucking see Santa this year. I'm going to do Santa Zoom. I'm buying that website. I'm going to dress up like Santa. You can call with your stupid fucking kid. I'll fucking ho it up.
You know, why wouldn't they want to call you?
You give me $40 a minute and we call it a fucking day. And done. Everyone, every type of name of that has been taken. Everyone's already had that idea.
Oh,
and apparently for years, this has been going on way before COVID. I'm so late to the game. I have so many good ideas until up and realize everyone else has already had that good idea.
What's weird is they were grabbing them up before the internet even. It started in the 70s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's Zoom, some forethought.
How'd they know?
Yeah. One day there's going to be the internet and then online streaming.
Yeah. And a pandemic. I love the guy who bought Santa Zoom back in like 2015. His wife divorced him because of it. It just, he lost everybody because he seemed like such an idiot. And now when people are calling, he's like, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I'm getting into my helicopter right now. I'm sorry.
But the name started because he made so much money as Santa. He bought like a sweet Corvette and he has like Zoom on the license plate or Santa. Yeah. And so everything was Santa Zoom. And that's why she's like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know times are tough for all of us right now, but things are pretty good for Zoom Santa.
Right. Oh, yeah. He's going to be crushing it.
What about North Pole Zoom?
Oh, I don't know. Is that available?
If it's available,
it
buy
can't
it right
be
now.
Reached.
Buy it. Oh.
Buy it right now.
Oh, wait. I wrote North Pole Oom. So that's
well, there you go. That's
what that's available. Available, just in case.
Probably nobody wants that.
Those are pictures of my feet.
Wait, what?
What about Santa Teams? Is that on there?
Nobody wants that.
Just kids crying because it takes so long to get on.
It won't log off.
It's I'm just Santa freezing in weird positions.
Yeah. And then the kid misses the next semester of school. My Dell is ruined. It won't start. You a big gambler, Willie?
Not really. I love gambling. I grew up, I played poker a lot. When I lived in Miami, there was this is going to sound insane. There was this lesbian masseuse that lived in our guest house.
Oh yeah.
Like there was like a guest house that like my mom rented out or whatever.
So hang on, Willie, tell this slow so Todd can use it later. Build some story, side characters. Just really layered in rich and deep
form. Her name was Angela. No, and so she taught us how to play poker when we were really little. And so we'd do like family poker night a lot. And then I did a little bit of it online. And then when I was 21, me and all my friends went to Vegas. And I had just worked all summer at this like Christian summer camp, like a YMCA camp in Northern Indiana. And you're working, you know, 24 hours a day. You have a 1 hour break, I guess, when you're sleeping in cabins and you're just constantly surrounded by kids. And so I was 21. So I was so excited to go to Vegas with all my buddies. But you're not getting paid a lot. You know, it's a summer job. You live at the camp.
Sure.
So I think I made it out like 2.5 months or whatever it was. I left with like, I think a little over $2,000. And we went to Vegas and by the next day, it was all gone. All of it was gone.
It happened so fast.
I just spent everything that I had. I gambled it. I spent it on like drinks or whatever. I was buying drinks. And while people were bringing me free drinks, I was just being an idiot because I was 21. And I had to call my sister and she had to buy me a ticket out of Vegas. I was like, Lucy, I can't afford to be in this town for another day. I need you to save me.
You bought a one-way ticket to Vegas?
I bought a round trip, but it was from like whatever it was, Friday to Monday. Oh. And I couldn't afford to exist in Vegas after Sunday.
Yeah.
I had like $100 in my bank account and I was just like, I need you to save me. I'm going to go back to Boulder and I'm going to pray. I'm going to apologize. I'm never going to gamble again.
Get back to church camp. Like, what'd we learn, Willie?
Exactly. What did we learn? I'm going to sing grace before every meal. Yeah, but I like gambling. I like gamble with pals a little bit.
I do too. I like gambling. It is kind of on sports a lot. That's my thing. I gamble on sports. I do it online. And I just wanted to let everyone that's listening know, winning season returns at my bookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means Survivor, Super Contests, and Squares. At my bookie, winning season means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. Or trounce, however you want to pronounce it. Rejoice. It's time to celebrate the NFL season. It's back, guys. It's happening. We didn't know for a minute, but now it's back, and we have cool sports to fucking bet on. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code FUNTOWN and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play. I'm going to say that again. Up to $1,000 in free play. Doubles your deposit. That means if you put in $200 as your deposit, Willie, now you get $400 because they're going to match it. They're going to double it for you. It's designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash, use promo code FUNTOWN, and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie.
Willie, where do you get your chicken nuggets from?
Generally or?
Yeah, just in general.
If I'm getting chicken nuggets, I think my favorite's the spicy ones from Wendy's, but the ones from McDonald's are great.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Right now at Wendy's, you can get two chicken nuggets for the price of one if you use the code FUNTOWN. Did we just do a fucking ad, Todd? Did you bring Willie on here to run an ad? Walk him into an ad?
That was so good.
He's doing the whole show. He's doing the whole show.
No, it was good. The best thing you want before an ad read is a two-minute story that doesn't end great.
That's gambling, folks. But what if you'd have went to Vegas and somebody would have said, you got $2,000 in your pocket? Here, let's double it. Now you got four. Could have been a whole nother weekend. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
The funny thing is the only bet that I won, we went there. So I was going to the University of Colorado at Boulder, and we went there for like the big Civil War game. So it's CU versus CSU. And all my buddies bet on CU, obviously, because we all go there. So that's where we're going to bet on our team.
Right.
And then I was just like, I was drunk. I was being contrarian. And CSU had better odds, so I bet on CSU. And so the only reason I had a little bit of money when I left is because I bet on CSU. I had to like go back to the hotel where we bet it and get it.
Insane. My first trip to Vegas, I went with $1,300 in my pocket. And I, as soon as we got off the, I got in from the airport, we did, before we went to our hotel, we went to the Hard Rock, played craps, and I won $600. So I spent $100 by the next day just drinking. And we go to back to the Hard Rock, sit down at a roulette table. And by now I am wasted. It was when the Pacers were good. We were in the playoffs against the Knicks in that series. So I am wasted. And I just take the $1,800 that's in my pocket and I put it on black on the roulette wheel. This is our first day in on a 5-day trip. So if I would have lost this money, I am broke 5 days in Vegas and I fucking hit it. And I went on a run, son. Like I was up $10,500 at one point during this trip. Yes. I was fucking like, you know, thinking I'm counting cards and I'm playing bite and it's working. And it was totally luck. But in my mind, I'm like, I figured out how to count cards.
Well, I didn't know.
Rain Man. Yeah. I hit a royal flush on 3-card poker playing 50, 50, and 50. It paid out like $2,750. I was insane. And then I lost all but $3,800 of it in like 90 minutes on the very last day before we left to go to the airport.
Aww.
Yeah, still came out ahead, but fuck, because I kept in my mind, I was like, if I can turn this into $23,000, I could buy a brand new 4-door Super Crew F-150. Because that's how much they cost at that time. And yeah, didn't happen.
You could always put a deposit down on a car and still pay loans out for the rest of the amount.
Here's how dumb I am, Jess. I would have taken that if I would have walked out of there with $23,000. I would have taken just the cash and just walked in the dealership and bought that truck like a dumbass with cash instead of, you know, like the worst investment you can make with your cash. A vehicle that's going to be worth half its value the moment you leave the lot with it. But yeah, just for pride's sake, to say I did it once, I would have done it for sure.
Have you been to Vegas, Jess?
Only to transfer planes.
That's
but the
it?
Airport was cool because it had some slots. Did I didn't play because a lot of weird people were on those slots, but
yeah.
Yeah.
That was about it.
The people watching is awesome at casinos.
Not at the airport though.
Yeah. But I revel in the patheticness of it. Yeah. You know?
I was going to say people that play slot machines at the airport aren't weirdos. They're called losers. And you should respect all of us. All right. We're dying people, us losers.
Well, I feel like an idiot because I'm like, I kind of want to play like at least $1 to say I did or something. But I was afraid I would go next to them and mess up. And they'd be like, what are you doing? Like, you're messing up my vibe. Like, I had this whole scenario in my head. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just sit here and watch.
People are ruthless on there though, especially the, we call them blue hairs. When I worked at the casino for 13 months, the boat and the blue hairs, and we worked day shift. That's all you got was just old people pretty much just playing slot machines, and they would do it until they passed out. They would just fall out because they wouldn't eat, you know, all day, just sit there and crank. There was an ambulance run, I don't know, 4 times a shift. Just hauling old people out of there. Yeah.
They literally just fall.
Oh, yeah. Like, shit themselves. Like, people would complain. Like, this person just shit themselves. Like, wouldn't get up. They were like, oh, it's going to hit. It hasn't hit in a while. It's going to hit. And if they got up for a second, turned away to put money in a different machine, and somebody tried to slide in on their machine, it was an old lady fist fight. It was awesome. I loved it.
You worked at a casino?
Yeah, the when they first opened them here in Indiana, the state police had to do the gaming enforcement, and my entire state police class was funded by riverboat money. So all of us had to go work 1 year on a boat our rookie year. So I like was a detective or a trooper for 6 months, and then they put me on a gambling boat for 13 months.
That sounds like a really bad, like TBS needs to do some sort of reform to the image of police officers. Yeah. So they're just like, coming this fall, boat cops.
And you're not supposed to, like, we modeled it after Illinois. Illinois they're all old troopers, right? They're like writing out their last 3 years on an easy detail, and they had like unlimited overtime. So like padding their pensions, you know, and you don't put new cops on there. They're only 6 months in waiting to go out. You know, you just fucking chase cars, drive fast, and, you know, do what young cops do. You know, just sit there and fucking watch old people gamble. It was horrible.
Ma'am, those crab legs are not all you can eat. We're going to have to ask you to back away from the buffet. And like, did anything crazy ever happen? Like, did you ever bust like a poker ring, like that would come in and like, you know, do their thing and like try to make off with a ton of money? Did you ever get anything good?
Well, there's a few things that happened. The one wave I thought was just cool. It wasn't so much an event, but it's like we were officially part of gambling when this happened, because I guess when all new casinos open, the card counters, the actual card counters, come in and mob it. Right. Like all the best card counters in the world will come in when your state starts legalized casino gambling for the first time, because they want to test your legislature. So they come in and they just fucking rake the blackjack tables. I mean, before you know it, like, surveillance is like, all right, something's going on. We're down like 400,000 in pit two. And they start freaking out. So they get out of there with like $1.5 million and then they kick them out. They're like, you're welcome to play any other game in the casino, but you're not allowed to play blackjack. And then they sue because of that, right? And then that forces your state's legislature to officially pony up and say, all right, card counting is legal or it's illegal. So in Indiana, they said, there's nothing you can do about it, you guys. You have to let them play. It's the right, and you can't punish somebody for mastering a game. It's not cheating, right? It's just mastering the game. So then all the casinos had to lower the table limits here enough that no card counter would want to come here anyway, because it takes too long to make money.
Huh.
So, yeah, really? It was interesting, right? I learned a lot there. Like, because when these boats first opened, big wigs from Vegas or, you know, vets from Vegas came into work. So the guy that ran surveillance was this old Caesars guy. You know, he was a salty vet of this card counting maneuver. It was cool because they had the Vegas book. Whenever a card counter would come in, their faces in it, you know, all that stuff. But I did catch a bank robber one time who robbed the bank, came on our boat, I guess, because we got a bulletin from one of our guys at state police that said, hey, this guy just hit a bank near Cincinnati, near the line there in Ohio. He might come by your boat because he likes to gamble and wash the money that way. So I had the plate information for the vehicle. So I give that to security and I'm like, go drive the parking garages in the lot, see if this car's here, and surveillance start looking for this face. So we're looking. And then one security guard was like, hey, I got a pit boss here that says this guy isn't here now, but he was, and he left. And I'm like, oh my God, fine. And then next thing you know, a security guard's like, hey, we got the car. It's in this parking lot. And I'm like, all right, fucking keep eyes on that car. I'm leaving the boat. I'm driving to the parking lot. So I leave a trooper there. I go run off and I'm screaming ass in my car to get there. Well, it leaves. And the guy's like, oh, I couldn't stop it. You know, he just drove out. So then I'm on the main road. I think 350 it is that runs through Lawrenceburg. And I hit the point where it Y's and you can either keep going straight or go down toward Rising Sun to the casino, or go back like toward Indianapolis way. So I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna go left. Maybe he's gonna go to Rising Sun. He's not washed all his money yet. So I go that way. And then I hear a town marshal in little Milan, Indiana, which is the Hickory of Hoosiers for people that aren't from Indiana. So this town marshal I know gets the car stopped. So I'm like, fuck, I turn around and scream ass that way. And I'm like, just wait on me. So he just holds the car at gunpoint till I get there. And then we both get the guy out and arrest him. So that was kind of cool. But most of the time it was just, yeah, watching old people pass out and shit themselves. Or drunk people getting belligerent when they're out of money and getting kicked off. Yeah. Which is it's always interesting though. The casino has no problem with a drunk belligerent guy who is still spending money.
Right.
But the moment they're out of money, yeah, we need this fucker out of here.
Oh man. When they opened up the Anderson Casino, it was very exciting for someone that was, you know, well, I think I was 21 when it did open, or maybe 20. But then you go in, you're like, look at all the slots, because you can't really do anything. They didn't have the live dealers yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to play the Wizard of Oz machine, which I don't think it ever hit. Like, you never won because they knew people wanted to play it. And they're like, this is never going to give you anything. Like, maybe $5 one time.
Right.
Like, this sucks.
Isn't that interesting that there's a whole market for paying for copyrighted use of old movies and dumb shit like that just to decorate your slot machine with it and theme it? Like, I wonder what
they paid. I lost $45 on the Steel Magnolias slot machine.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have a good day. And then I went to Slot Shank Redemption. Wasn't fun. I mean, not at all. It was not fun.
All right. I got a question for you, Willie.
Yeah,
off the wall. What are you scared of? What things are you scared of? You got any weird phobias? Things that freak you out?
Right away, I'm scared of the dark, like straight up.
Really?
I think it was in a TV show or something, but it's just the idea of just being like everything that you can be afraid of exists in the dark.
yeah.
Like, so I'm a big, like, have my cell phone to the flashlight, got to walk to get the lights. As far as just like a base fear, like of things like that, definitely a little afraid of the dark. And then, you know, just, you know, failure, being alone for the rest of my life, all the other things that we have anxiety about.
I was thinking spiders, but yeah, those are things as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with spiders. Today though, I found a little like porch sitting area, and there was a egg sack of spiders. Gross. And that thing just terrified me just because of the potential of that. Just because of what it could turn into.
Oh no.
Hundreds of spiders in there.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was a kid, I stepped on a big fat spider in our garage, and like 1,000 babies ran out from it. It was like a horror movie. I was like,
That is the worst thing ever. I think I would just have a heart attack if I saw it happen. Yeah. I would just be like, and yeah, keel over.
Wait, it's why I'm scared of spiders to this day. I can't fucking stand because of that. And then the corn spiders, like when you'd be running through the corn on the farm, you'd run into these big, they're big as your fucking hand, these black and gold, like Purdue Boilermaker looking spiders. And
what?
Garden spiders?
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah. We call them corn spiders, but I think they're officially garden spiders.
My dad like, come out and look at this one. Look how great it is in the web. And so it was kind of cool when you were a kid, when it was far away, but.
Yeah.
But then you'd have like those brown recluse looking ones that like just come underneath the door, because why would we ever have like a good doorstop, or we call it weather stripping? So they just walk right in. I'm like, dear God.
I have
and
to
Dad's
be
like scared of those, but he's like, look at the garden spiders. Aren't they pretty? But they're huge. I'm like, oh, they're all evil.
I've had a spider living behind my toilet for the last 3 weeks. And every time I go in to pee, like it kind of comes out and looks and then like goes back. And I haven't messed with him. He's just living there. But I'm waiting for one of my kids to see it and freak the fuck
out. That's the worst thing I've ever heard. Yeah. I will go into the bathroom and check for spiders. When I get into the shower, I'm looking every corner. I used to check the curtain because I don't want one to pop out and be like, hey, what's up? You're naked? I'm going to scare you. You know?
You would
don't want to sit on spider. One.
You would freak out if you knew how much bug killer that I buy. Like, I always have giant spray things of the kind with the hose and the handle, and you like you carry it like a briefcase, and I spray the perimeter, the outside of my house, and then in the bar out back, probably, I don't know, every 3 weeks, and then the interior of the house every 2 weeks. Like, I fucking hate spiders.
They're worse.
I can't bear the thought of them being on my toilet back there. Just waiting. Like, what's he doing on your toilet? Like, he's going to trap a fucking human in there? Like, he'll build a web somewhere where there's bugs.
Yeah, there's no bugs there.
No.
Pops out for a second, and he just is like, hey, I'm still here. And I'm like, hey, buddy, I get you. I hide in here, too.
I mean, I like that you have your own little Charlotte's Web thing going on in your bathroom. But I just wish it wasn't a spider and real, and the vulnerability of your booty being back there. And what if one day a spider's like, you know what? I'm tired of you coming in my dojo and doing what you do. Bite ya.
Well, we get that story. I was going to say, we get the story of the snake in the toilet we get that story on Bob and Tom, I'd say every 3 months.
Yeah.
It just, and it's not everyone, you know, it's usually, oh, is it happening in India or Australia or someplace with snakes? No, it's happening in Dayton and it's happening in our backyards.
It happens like it's the weird, like they have found snakes in people's toilets, like on the 14th floor of their apartment building. Like, it's like, how in the hell did the snake get all the way up there? It's crazy.
It makes no sense. I think fucking like maintenance people are planting them in places. That's
yeah, like
I
I'm sick of Mrs. Smith complaining about me not taking a shower.
Who needs a new air filter now?
Yeah.
Have I told you about the show on Netflix about the jail people that like take the toilet water out and then they talk through their toilets to each other?
Yeah.
If you have not seen that, I don't know the name of it, but the toilet talking is amazing. They're like the wind walkers of like the code people from the
they should call that show Jail People. I think they're
yes. Wait, so these are prisoners, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm just making
stacked,
sure.
like all male floor, then an all female floor. And then they take all the water out of their toilet and then talk to their boo up above. And then they'll send like pictures and stuff back and forth through the toilet.
Ugh. Wow.
So they're drawing a picture of their boobs and sending it down and then talking dirty.
Dude, it's amazing what they have in those jails. Oh, there's another one about kids in jail that if you want to cry for an afternoon, oh my God, it's about an all-girls prison in Indiana. And it is, you will, if you have the least bit of heart, you will cry for days. It is the saddest, but still interesting as shit. Because, you know, 14-year-old Kendra doesn't give a fuck. And she doesn't mind telling everybody. She doesn't, like, it's all the bad kids from fucking Maury Povich. They're all in jail in Indiana now. And they don't give a shit. And it's very heartwarming. But then they're like, oh, I'm getting out. I'm making changes. Like, and then they're like, Kendra was out 4 hours. She beat up her grandmother and is on the run from the law for the next 3 weeks. Like, and you're like, God damn it, Kendra. I believed in you, baby. And you let me down.
That's so crazy that our prison system failed a child. That's kind of, who would have thought that? Who would have thought that they weren't just fully equipped to help a at-risk child turn their life around? I'm surprised, Jeff.
I mean, Jeff, when you said they let a reality TV show in there, you know, I figured they were talking to experts.
Yeah. Dude, you do, like, you hear these kids' backstories and you're like, dude, I get it. And they do, like, they're like, oh, I, you know, they're all proud of themselves. I got straight A's. I just graduated high school. Like, I don't want to turn out like my mom. Like, I'm going to make the difference. And you're like, fuck yeah, she is going to make the difference. Like, she gets it. And then, like, she doesn't get shit.
I just hope my stupid grandma can keep her mouth shut long enough for me to graduate.
Was out robbing people. She's 14, and she robbed, like, five people with a gun, like, within 12 hours of being out. Well, I needed some money. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, you were just in for 2 years. Like, I thought you changed.
No. The one woman's prison here lets them use the internet. And I only know that because it's how my aunt got addicted to Pinterest. It's like the true story. She was in there for dealing pills and meth and then ends up getting this 2 hours a day or whatever. And she can get on there. She has a Pinterest account that she's running. And I think when she got out, that ruined my uncle's life way more than her pill and meth operation and addiction. Because now he had to fucking make fucking shit for Pinterest for her all day.
Going to Bed Bath & Beyond again.
Yeah. When she was away, he could hunt and fish whenever he wanted. Now he spends all day in his fucking garage, like saw cutting Home Sweet Home out of Number 2 Pine.
Pinhole Sunday, bedazzling ceiling fans. Yeah. Todd, how are you doing?
Yeah, I got to make a damn vision board later. Yeah.
Oh, I'm way more embarrassed of my Pinterest board than I am my porn searches. Like I would much rather see someone see my porn history than my Pinterest history. Well, it's funny, like, oh, another koi pond? You're gonna build your own koi pond now. Okay.
I've never done any Pinterest thing, but I don't have the bed frame, but I am trying to work on, like, I'm trying to make this place feel like home, right? So I am trying to set up that bedroom in there, but I don't know how to do any of that stuff. And I don't have, like, a girlfriend to tell me what to do. And earlier I just Googled cool men's bedrooms. Like, and, some 14-year-old
cool dudes. Some cool men looking for someone to come to their bedroom.
Your search history is so basic. It's big boobs, cool men's bedrooms,
yeah, big boobs,
fast cars.
Hey, if I buy an expensive exercise bike, will I exercise consistently for the first time in my life? Is that the problem?
You know what, though? I've lived in this house 9 years probably now. Mm-hmm. And I still have things in boxes in the basement. And I still have things not on the wall. Like, I have pictures on the wall from the previous owner. And I was like, yeah, that painting works there. That's cool.
They left their pictures?
Like, I knew her. And so I rented from her for a while. And then when she decided she was going to sell, we just bought the place because we didn't want to move. I was like, that sucks. I've moved every year for, like, all my life. I'm ready to stay somewhere. And, like, they're okay. So she left a bunch of stuff here, which is kind of weird.
Jess, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you ever notice any of the eyes on the pictures move? Do you ever notice, like, maybe the eyes are moving, following you through the room?
Yeah. Do any of them have electrical wire going to them? Yeah.
The basement's pretty shady. There's, like, a bunch of exposed wires and stuff. And I'm like, I probably should have looked into this. Later.
It's like in that thing in Parks and Recreation where Ron is looking in Andy's bathroom. He goes, that shock wire. I call it that because if you touch it while you shower, you'll die. Yes.
If it weren't for a lady being here in this house, with the exception of bedroom number 4 here, the studio, there would be nothing on any wall.
I'm basically the guy here. I'm like, hey, why decorate?
I know. I don't know.
I might move someday. And it's like, I just have to hang a picture. At the other office that I work out of, Tom will come in and be like, you can decorate this and do whatever you want in here. You can make this your own. And I'm like, okay. And I do nothing. And he kept saying that to me, like, I think because he's like, please, for the love of God, look sad in here.
It does look sad.
It is very sad. And then there's a new cake lady, Amy, love her. She's at the shack now. And he said something to her, I think, once or twice. And it looks better than my house now. And I'm like, Amy, how did you do this?
Did you say cake lady?
She's the cake lady. And a lot of lady.
Nice. So my dad's a crazy person. And he has... Instead of just, you know, going to stores like most people do, or going to a bakery, or going to a florist, or going to a hardware store, he just has a million different people, just these weirdos running throughout the central Indiana area that manage dog food and dog training and cakes and tailoring. And
I used to be one of those weirdos.
Yeah.
Donnie's kind of one of them now.
Yeah. No, they're not weirdos. They're all great. He's the weirdo, just the way that he frames it. Cause they're all people that have regular jobs and there are ways to go about it. Like, I'm sure there are offices you can call to talk to these people, but he's just, like, got their cell phone and he calls them by their first name. He says, he has odd relationships.
Whenever I need somebody for a very specific thing, I call your dad because I know that he has somebody for everything. Like, I was like, hey, I'm thinking about starting this this non-for-profit group or whatever. And he goes, I got a non-for-profit guy. Yeah. Here's his number. Boom. So I'm always like, dude, I need somebody who makes homemade toothbrushes. I got a homemade toothbrush guy. Like, you just know he's going to have somebody for everything. It's incredible.
When are we going to find a weed guy so we can start selling some Funtown weed?
Oh, that's what we need.
Get some branded.
Need our own strand.
Which, by the way, my son wants to go rock climbing. And we can't go to like I don't want to go to the indoor places because, you know, I'm paranoid.
It's germy.
But I can't afford all the rock climbing gear to like take him rock climb. Like, I need someone who's a rock climber to take me and my son rock climbing for the day somewhere in the Midwest region. I guarantee how it's going to go. He's going to get up around 6-7 feet, chicken the fuck out, want to be slowly belayed down. And then that'll be the end of the day. So if you want to ruin your day taking me and my son rock climbing, I'm down.
You gotta get
just take him
shoes.
To an indoor place. It sounds like you won't be in there long enough to get COVID anyway. Just rush him right in, sort of hurry him into the moment and let him chicken dude, shit out. And you'll be on your way.
I got a guy, Mushroom Matt. We need to hook you up with Mushroom Matt.
Don't go climbing with Mushroom Matt. I'm calling that right now. I'm not taking my son
anywhere near Mushroom Matt. I don't know who he is. I want to party with him, but my son's not getting near him.
Mushroom Matt owns a mushroom farm. Not those kinds of mushrooms, but maybe if you want those kind, he might have access.
He might know a guy.
But
by the way, Mushroom Matt's name is Steve. That's just what Todd calls it.
Also, if you're a mushroom farmer, you must spend your whole life people coming up to you going, so do you I know you just do regulars, but you have got the good stuff, and I'm not talking about morels, okay? I'm talking about the good stuff.
Yeah. And the guy's so interesting. Like when you talk to him, he'll be like, you'll start talking about rock climbing. And he'll be like, oh yeah, I was a rock climbing instructor for 7 years. Right. And he was a river raft guide. He was like he was a park ranger and all this other shit. He's just kind of a hippie dude that's awesome that now has this giant mushroom farm.
You know what? I like Mushroom Matt.
Yeah.
I'm coming around.
His lady makes homemade masks now. At one time, she was like the number one seller on Etsy. Like fucking hit it on the ground. You were talking about getting in on the ground floor of the mask game.
Yeah.
Because it's out of organic material and all this stuff. Yeah. She might still be crushing it. I don't know. But yeah, he's an interesting dude. Maybe don't let your kids around him, but still, he's awesome for
us. He's probably such a nerd. Like, he's probably, you know, most funguses are
the growth rate. Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to brag because we went to Turkey Run over the weekend, which is a state park. And, you know, it was all pretty much basic, you know, just hills and stuff. And he was like, I want to rock climb. And I was like, he's like, let's do it. And I go, I'm sure someone who listens to the podcast rock climbs. And they'll,
sure.
I'm like, you can't just, like, I've been rock climbing before, but I went with professionals. You know what I mean? Who, like, free climbed up and hooked the shit up. So I was being belayed the entire time I was climbing up the rock. I didn't have to free climb anything.
And at any point you fell, they just pulled the line taut and you're just stuck there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, I bet if you call the YMCA, they would have some sort of ropes course. Or I know, like my old summer camp, they do like, and not in like the summer season, they have people come and climb and do the
that's
whatever it's called, high ropes.
My son went to the summer camp where Willie used to go. All three of my kids went last summer. Summer we decided not to let them go to a small cabin where they sleep 12 kids to a cabin, but they're hopefully gonna go next year. If YMCA still exists next year. Hopefully. Oh, I'm sorry. Speaking of this, my son today told me, he goes, he's been saving his money. He had a summer job, he's put some money away, and he goes, hey, I want to use some of that money to buy a computer. And I was like, hey, that sounds like a good investment.
Yeah,
like,
responsible thing to do.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. So not to give away all his business, but he has like $850 saved, and the computer he found is $975. And that seems a bit steep to me. I feel like we could get and it's not even a Mac, Austin. Like
I'm glad to hear it.
You got to talk to our boss. He got me a refurbished laptop the first time around. Totally worth it.
Well, but it's like $400. Gaming, like he wants a gaming computer because
Went out. So that
you need to hook him up with my son Bailey McComas.
That's
because,
what
listen,
I was thinking.
Hit my son's first computer. He had saved up somewhere around $1,800 or $2,000, and he said, "Dad, I'm gonna go get a computer." It's like your son did. He worked for it, so I'm like, "Yeah, you know, whatever you want to get it's your money." He all these boxes start arriving to the house, ships. he fucking built his own computer. I mean, it was like a fucking mainframe, like half of a wall. The fan was like a regular house fan size. Like, so it was basically like a $12,000 computer if you were to buy it that way. Right. And he built it for like $2,000 or a little more. Like, it was incredible. But you need to hook him up with Bailey. And Bailey, if he's going to get in the gaming computer, he'll hook him up.
So here's my issue with it. Is I get a text while I'm at work this morning. Hey, I found a computer I like. Cool. Hey, I'm at work. I'll get back to you later. So then later on, he goes, hey, I found this computer. It's this much money. I'm going to need all my money. But mom says she'll put in the difference so I can get this computer. I'm like, okay, well, I would like. So I call him and I go, hey, dude, like, because Bailey and my girlfriend's brother is also a huge computer nerd.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, one of them can probably build you a computer cheaper that's a lot better.
Right.
And he goes, hey, I'm at the cashier at Best Buy. I gotta go. And I'm like, oh, you didn't give a shit what I had to say about any of this.
Like, if anything goes wrong with it, though, you're like, well, you are the adult that made the decision to purchase it.
Like, I thought we were having a conversation. You were just letting me know what was up.
Dang. Oh, man.
I gotta go.
I'm in the middle of a large transaction right now.
Dad, I'm at Best Buy. I'm 13, about to spend $900. My heart is racing. I've never felt this alive before in my life.
Oh, I can't believe that. Must feel so great when you're oh my gosh.
So later on he goes you know, it's really good and blah blah blah, and I was like, good for you, man. I'm glad you went for it. And he just wrote back, I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not. And I'm like, what do you think? And he's like, I think you're probably being sarcastic. I'm like, no, man, I'm proud of you. You earned all that money, and good for you. And he told me the specs, and I went online. Like, I'm like, I'm going to find one for half the price that's twice as good. And pretty much they were all around that cost for what he was getting.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it wasn't that bad of a deal. But at the same time, I'm like, you son of a bitch. I thought I had a say. I had no say.
Nope.
Well, good for him, though. That always blows me away when a kid that age like works and has, like, I was such a fuck off as a kid. I never had any money. I was probably fucking, I don't know, probably in the Marine Corps before I ever bought anything with my own money. And I was a prostitute, but it's fine. But it's true. Like, I didn't, I guess I delivered pizzas and shit, but as soon as I made that money, we were fucking drinking it, you know? Like, I didn't save
up
for
shit. So what's the first cool thing you ever, let's wrap it up with that. Like, what's the first cool thing you ever bought for yourself, whether as a child or an adult, that you were like, yeah, I finally like got the shit I wanted. Like, I'm cool with this.
Oh, good question. Oh. Who wants to go first?
So I used to, my first job was I worked at Celebration Fireworks. I was one of those people dressed as a clown out front that got people to come in to get fireworks.
You're full of shit.
I got a rock thrown at me, and I decided, you know what? I'd like to move inside and just put the fireworks away. Now, here's the deal. I was like 10 or 11. This is probably very illegal. You could get paid $5 an hour, or you could get paid $12 an hour in fireworks. Now, I was getting $12 an hour in fireworks and selling them to kids in the neighborhood at a markup.
Oh, genius.
This is what having a family business teaches children. Is buy something, find the demand, sell it for more. So I managed to raise up a pretty good chunk of change and bought myself, I did that actually for 2 summers, bought myself a paintball gun. And that thing was bad as shit. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like a repeater, kind of like you dump all the balls on the top kind of paintball gun?
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty fun. And then I got real into paintballing, which is sort of a weird thing to get into. And then that was it.
Nice.
Is that what led you to Evening at the Authors? Was a natural progression from paint gun from character player?
Yeah, I mean, the paintball world is full of a lot of characters, Jeff, for sure. Yeah.
We went paintballing. It was like Matt Holt, this kid named Ryan, a bunch of MCs and open micers. We all went paintballing one time. And I was terrified the entire time. And I did this, like, I hid in a corner. And the comedian's name at the time, I don't know if he still does comedy, his name was Ryan Mass. And he comes around the corner, and I'm, like, crouched down. And he's, like, standing above me. And I freak out, and I, like, shoot, like, seven times right into his neck.
Oh my God.
Just out of pure fear. Like, not even, I never want to hurt anyone. Like, I'm a pat, but I missed his mask and I missed any padding he had on and just right in the throat multiple times. Just out of pure fear. And that's why I don't think I should have a real gun. Because I think I would probably
be a good idea. Kind of
trigger.
Might be a good idea. Jess, what's your first big purchase that made you feel like a big person?
Man, I don't have a cool story because when I was a kid, if I worked for like my cousin, it's like that money would go towards school clothes. Cool. And then when I worked in the factory in college, I think I was 18 or 19.
Making Nikes.
Disassembling valve plates and tear down with all the other men and one lady.
Nice.
I use that money for gas to get around because to get anywhere where I was from, it's like 20 minutes. And then I guess in college when I was working and playing softball, we went to Florida because that's how our spring break was in softball. You go and play softball all spring break.
Sure.
So fun. But we got to go to the outlet mall around Orlando, and I went to the Coach outlet store and got a Coach purse. Look at me getting discount Coach.
There you go.
So silly.
I remember that being a huge thing for like every girl I ever knew was when they got their first like designer purse.
And it is better, like better quality. And it was kind of a poofy, bigger bag. I was like, this is awesome. Nice. Totally get it. But not a cool story like fireworks and
I know
reselling them in the market.
Yeah, I was running that fire. I was the plug for Roman candles, bottle rockets, all kinds of shit. It was awesome.
You need me to money wash that lemonade stand money?
Yeah. you need to diverse into fireworks futures with that lemonade money. Right. Sure.
I bought a big screen TV and it was 1990. So it would have been 1991. So it was like that big screen TV where it's the speaker, built-in speakers bigger than the screen, actually. But it's the giant cube, the Mitsubishi cube, you know?
Dude, that thing probably weighed like 800 pounds.
Oh, dude. I'm in the Marine Corps. I'm at Marine Corps Air Station, Beaufort, South Carolina, and we're in barracks. So there's three of us to this room. It was so big because it was just tiny. It looked like college dorm rooms, basically, like that size. We had to move our racks all to like – we had – bunk bed situation and the other came off at an L from the beds so that we had room for this giant TV. So everybody would come to our room to watch TV and it was fucking horrible. But it took like 12 of us to get it fucking in there. And it was so heavy I had to just leave it. So the next Marine that came in there, hey, congratulations, you got a big screen TV.
Fucking
move it. Yeah. But I was and just
was
so
it
dumb.
Hot as shit in your room? Like that had to put off some heat.
Yeah, it did. And it was already like in the summer there, like 150 degrees with humidity and no AC really to speak of. So yeah, it was horrible.
That big screen's a lieutenant now.
Like you could only open the door to come in halfway because it would hit the TV, you know? So you had to just slide in kind of. Thankfully, everybody's pretty skinny then.
How funny would it be if that TV still in that room? Like, they're just like, no, it's been here forever. Like,
it's a legend.
Yeah, yeah. They have their Xbox hooked up to it to play video games.
Who's next?
I when I was like 20, I used some summer camp money to buy a guitar at Sweetwater Guitar Store, the music store in Fort Wayne, Indiana. and I got just a Fender Stratocaster, and I didn't have to call anybody. Didn't have to call my dad before to say, hey, can I? And I kind of just left, and I just felt very cool to have this. Yeah, yeah. It just there's something so cool about buying something with your own cash.
Yeah. Makes you feel important. You're like, yeah, I'm doing it. Look at me.
Do you still have it?
Yeah, it's right there. Oh, that's sweet. And the bigger thing for me was creating my own bank account. I remember when I made my own bank account, I was 18. Because like prior to that, I had like one like set up by my dad for me or whatever. But I got to make my own bank account, because the whole summer at camp, I would get paid and I would just cash my checks at the one bank in town that would cash them. I was like, yeah, I'll never have to worry about this. I'll just take cash. I'm rolling cash. I'm 18. I'm tight. And then at the end of summer, there was two checks that I'd left in my car. And so I was out in Colorado. I was like, hey, I have these two checks. I need to open a bank account. And like my friend had to come with me. I felt like I was just such a little idiot. But I was still, you know, 6 foot tall, 220 pounds. Like, can you help me put my bank together, please?
Yeah, I took my son to open his account so he could take all the money out of it fucking 3 months later. And like when I was a kid and you went and opened an account, it was like a big deal. Like I was part of this thing called the Squirrel Club, and it had like a little book that you opened up that held quarters, and it was like a big tree that had little circles in it, and you would stick your quarters in it, and when you had the tree filled up, it was like $10, and you would like go and I'd like to deposit this into my squirrel account. And fucking you'd feel all proud and shit.
Oh, like, and you're squirreling nuts away.
Yeah. Is that the end of it? Exactly.
I had one of those pages, but I don't think we called it anything.
Through American Fletcher National Bank. Like, it was like a bank that's been bought 1,000 times since. So I take my kid to open one. I'm like, hey, this is a pretty big deal. You're opening your first savings account, like, in your name. This is like a big deal. And they're like, okay, yeah, just sign here. And they just like handed him a receipt. And they're like, there you go. Have a good day. And I was like, wait, like he doesn't get like a squirrel account, like little savings book. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? No, like he deposited $200. He doesn't get shit.
Man, I remember being so excited to balance the checkbook. I'm like, well, I made a $5 withdrawal. 100 minus 5, 95.00, underline the double zero.
My son's still on mine. Yeah. Bailey's still on mine, so I can see his bank account, which makes me pretty pissed off most times. But it's a lot larger than mine usually. But he has one of those good jobs. But there for a while, he had it, and his mom called me one time, and she was like, hey, so your son wants to go out and get his own account, so I'm going to help him do it. And I go, well, first of all, he has to be on somebody's account because he's not old enough yet, you know, right. So that's why he's on mine or whatever. He's like, well, he's all pissed off. And I'm like, what are you even getting at? And he's like, she goes, well, he's always bitching that you're going in to transfer money off his account into your account and then putting it back like a week later. I'm like, that happened like three times. Like it was bill season. I'm like, hey, I need an extra 100 to cover me till the next paycheck. I'm like, fuck him. You know,
you bring up all the time you cut crust off of a sandwich.
Yeah. For that chicken. Yeah.
You think that was for free?
Yeah. How many times did you clean his ass for him?
Exactly.
Wow, I can't believe. But the thing is, I have some friends who grew up kind of poor, and they like went to turn on their gas for the first time, and they're like, you owe $540 from 6 years ago. And he's like, how's that possible? And it's like, oh, because your mom got her gas turned off, had it turned on in your name, and then ran it up and didn't pay it and had it turned off again. So they have to like pay for their parents' gas that they ran before they could even get theirs turned on in their
own name. Oh, my God.
So at least you weren't doing that.
Yeah.
Like paid the money back. You took an interest-free loan from your son. That's perfectly legal.
Yeah, exactly. It's 1 week. You're going to be without it 1 week.
Yeah.
Just if put you don't that like it, get your memo. Own account.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You withdraw it. What's this for? Ass cleanings from zero to two.
I love
Chuck. Well, this has been fun, guys. Thanks for joining us, Willie.
Yeah.
Where can everybody follow you at? What's
at Willie Griswold. And it's at Willie.Griswold on Instagram.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. This was awesome. I had so much fun.
Yeah,
you're doing a great job at it. You've been a nice addition to the show.
Yeah.
I have a lot of fun, man. I feel very, very lucky just to like have a job right now, be able to perform right now. It's weird times, and I feel pretty, pretty lucky.
Well, you're a great fit, buddy. So everybody check him out on the Bob and Tom Show if you're not already, and follow him on social media because he's a funny fucking dude. More importantly, a good dude. Obviously, you can tell. So, get to know him even more. Right.
Next week, I'm pulling this book right here, and we're gonna get to the bottom of what's happening in it. That book.
Oh gosh,
I love it.
Big adventures.
Little teaser. Oh,
we're doing a live authors on Thursday. Tickets are almost sold out. But if you want one, want tickets, go and buy them. Tickets are cheap too. It's like $5 a table.
Are you serious?
We're doing a live one.
When is it?
It's Thursday, 8:00
at White Rabbit.
At the White Rabbit in Indianapolis.
This Thursday.
This Thursday, yeah.
So like tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Wednesday.
Tomorrow.
I'll be there too. I'm going to go.
Sweet.
Everybody go. If you live in Indianapolis, let's go.
Is it flood live?
It's live, yeah.
Like
in the Rabbit. House. And I'll say the White Rabbit has done the COVID thing better than any place, literally any business I've been in. It's pretty incredible.
It's like, it would freak people out to know. Like, I mean, it's literally a pain in the ass. That's how you know venues like this are being safe, because it's a real pain in the ass. To get in there. I mean, you can't be around anybody that you didn't come with, and you get your fucking forehead temperature tested before you can even get in the place, and you got to keep your mask on if you get up from that table at all for any reason. I mean, and they keep you away from the talent. I mean, so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's save good. Our stages. Check it out.
Yeah.
Be sure to sign it.
Do that, guys. Serious. I mean, I hate to push stuff like that, but it's an emergency.
It is.
Stand-up comedy needs venues, and it's been rough for those people. They don't get the same benefits from the government that some other businesses have gotten. So please go there as well. And as always, we love you guys. Please rate and review. Go crazy with the rating review. We do this about once a month. Just get on there and hammer it. Fool that algorithm to put us in front of some new eyes there on Apple Podcasts. So do it. You guys are awesome. We love you, and we are out.